It's Tuesday morning. It's time for the doctor's point of view. This is Debbie Bosky, and joining me this morning is Dr. Matthew Minahan, oncologist. Good morning, Dr. Minahan.
Good morning, Debbie. How you doing today?
We're doing really, really good. Of course, it's fall. It's supposed to start feeling like fall, but anyway, we're excited about that. But I do have to take a moment and wish my granddaughter, Celine Faub, happy birthday. She has birthday today, so she's my pride and joy, so I want to wish her a happy birthday as well as thanking you for being my guest today.
Of course, and happy birthday.
Yeah, she's a gorgeous little girl, or I guess she's 11 now. She's not little anymore. But anyhow, she's close and dear to my heart, as well as my daughter and all of our listeners here. And so that's one thing that we want to talk about. We know that October is Breast Cancer Awareness, and so I know that this is the end of September, but we want to start talking and talking about that, you know, to get your mammograms, your screening mammograms, and so we can get the best possible outcome. Breast cancer is something that we can definitely usually find in the very early stages now, correct?
Yeah, with modern screening techniques with mammography, we're doing a much better job at finding it early, and you can see that since mammography's been implemented, we've definitely we found more breast cancers, but that's because we were looking. But if you look at the mortality or the deaths from breast cancers, it's definitely gone down just from that screening method because we're able to find them sooner.
All right. So once you've got the mammogram and your doctor calls you in for a consult and it's decided that you have breast cancer, now do all cancers need to see an oncologist?
For breast cancer, I do recommend that you see a medical oncologist. The reality is breast cancer is a multidisciplinary cancer. You're going to have to see probably a medical oncologist, a surgeon, a radiation oncologist, and likely even a plastic surgeon, depending on the type of surgery you end up wanting to have. You won't necessarily need everything from all of those people, but it's important to at least have the consult to make sure that you get all the information. And breast cancer therapy is complicated. You know, we've been blessed with lots of research in breast cancer, but that means there's a lot of information to kind of keep in your head at one time, and it's really important to make sure that you see the team of doctors so that we can all put our heads together and make sure that everyone's on the same page and agrees with the right plan, which is really tailored patient by patient.
And I understand there's no, like, rhyme or reason for whether it's small breast, large breast, you know. And I know there's always been some talk about the silicone breast as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think we're getting away from the silicone implants. Most people are doing saline nowadays, although I'm sure there's still some out there. And but, you know, risks for breast cancer, the really important things that, as a medical oncologist, that I really think about are your family history is really important. You know, breast cancer is pretty common, unfortunately. About 1 in 8 women will have a diagnosis of breast cancer by the time they die, which means that most of us will have a family member that's affected by it. But there are certain red flags, like breast cancer at an early age, less than 50 years old, certain subtypes of breast cancer, depending on the pathology reports, ovarian cancer in the family, male breast cancer, which does happen. Those are all red flags that would want you to get checked out a little bit more aggressively.
All right, and so there's is there like one more aggressive breast cancer than others? Is there like a typical name for one?
Yeah, there's breast cancer is divided into lots of different subgroups, and I won't bore you with the pathology of all of them, but the most important things that we look at are you know, there's clinical staging, which is how big is the tumor? Are there lymph nodes involved? Has it spread outside of the breast and the lymph nodes? And that's important and gives us a clue about how aggressive it is. But we've learned that in breast cancer, there's several different subtypes of breast cancer. And for the longest time, we just had these three proteins that some of your listeners may have contact with if they know someone with breast cancer: estrogen and progesterone receptors. Those are the two female hormones. Those are the things that in pregnancy help develop breast growth and are involved with all the processes of milk production. And some tumors can hijack those signals as a driver to grow. And then there's a third protein called HER2, H-E-R-2, which also does a similar thing where it can be a driver for the breast cancer to grow. But we've even learned now, more studying the genetics of breast cancer, that there are multiple other subtypes when you look at the genes of breast cancers, and your medical oncologist, your breast surgeon, can help you figure out, do you have one of these more aggressive subtypes, or do you have one of these less aggressive subtypes? And that's not always something you'll know until you have the pathology report, and we can kind of help walk you through what the best treatment might be based on those findings.
Okay, and I guess the next question that I have, based on those findings, I know there's what, stage 1, 2, 3, 4?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, does it matter the larger the tumor it is, or is that just because there's a large tumor doesn't necessarily mean, can you have a small tumor and it be worse?
Yes, for breast cancer, the way we do that clinical staging does involve tumor size. It also involves whether lymph nodes are involved. So you can sometimes have a smaller tumor, but if the lymph nodes are involved, that's more concerning. You can also have, but even outside of that, those proteins I was talking about, the estrogen, progesterone, and that HER2 protein. For instance, if all of those are negative, if your breast tumor doesn't express those, that's usually a pretty aggressive tumor. Whereas if the estrogen is very strongly positive and the HER2 is negative, that's usually a well-behaved tumor. And a big estrogen-positive tumor versus a smaller, what we call triple-negative tumor, where none of those tests are positive, those are very different tumors.
So that's what you have to be concerned about. Now, is there certain types of things that signify, I mean, is there anything a woman can do other than self-breast exams? I mean, there's not like a diet or an exercise or something like that?
No, I mean, there's been a couple of studies that have showed that alcohol may increase the risk, but it's a pretty small increased risk. It's something like 3 or 4, and this is from memory, I don't have the study in front of me, but it was less than 10 patients per 1,000 were maybe related to alcohol. There's no diet that I am aware of that's been able to predict. I think it really has to do with the things that have been proven really are mammograms. So mammograms, there's some controversy about when to start and how often to do them. Me personally, I usually recommend that women get a baseline in their early 40s just to have an idea of what you're starting with. And then depending on your risk, you and your physician can decide how often to do it after that. Certainly by age 50, I recommend getting them at least once a year. Self-breast exams are a little bit murkier. They've never really been proven to help. I don't ever tell women not to do them. I actually think they're helpful because most women listening probably understand that, you know, not all breasts are the same, and some of them are lumpy, and they've always been lumpy. And you're going to know your own breasts better than your physician. So if you come into me and I feel something abnormal, I might say, uh-oh, that's a lump, and you'll say, no, that's been there 20 years, don't worry about it. You know, so I think they're helpful in that respect. But the only things that really have been proven are mammograms.
Okay. And then as we were talking about sizes, now, like, let's say it's a really, really bad one, and you end up, if it's a larger, when do you know you need a mastectomy? Is that when the whole breast is infiltrated, or who determines that?
Right. So that'll be the team of doctors together. But typically, that you have two choices as far as breast surgery. You can have what we call a lumpectomy, which is where they just remove the tumor and then a little bit of healthy tissue around it to make sure they've gotten everything. Or you can get a mastectomy, which is where they remove the entire breast. Now, the mastectomies we do nowadays are not like the mastectomies from 30 years ago. The ones from a long time ago were pretty debilitating. They removed a lot of muscle, maybe all the way down to the chest wall. Now we don't do that as much anymore. The key is if you get a lumpectomy, just the partial surgery, you do need to follow that up with radiation therapy. And if you do that, you get at least the same chances of cure as you do with a mastectomy. Now, whether or not to choose taking the entire breast versus the part of the breast with radiation, most of the time comes down to patient preference. A lot of folks, if they, you know, the radiation is in Austin, and so a lot of folks, if they live in LaGrange and they don't want to drive in for radiation in Austin, they may decide to just have the breast removed because you're less likely to need radiation if you get the mastectomy. There are certain instances, like you said, if the tumor is particularly large and the breast is on the smaller side, you may not be able to do a lumpectomy with a good cosmetic result, so you may just do the mastectomy. Another indication for doing the complete mastectomy would be if you had multiple tumors in the same breast, or if you had certain high-risk genetic testing results. If you had, you know, the breast cancer gene, the BRCA1 or 2, the indication is usually to do a complete mastectomy rather than to do the lumpectomy.
Okay, so the main thing is to go ahead and get your screening mammogram so you can get the earliest diagnosis, if, God forbid, there be one, and mm-hmm. so we can make some choices. You have choices
right.
and things of that nature.
Yeah, you know, breast cancer is an incredibly complex disease. There's a lot of decisions that go into it. I wish it were more straightforward, but the good news is that we have, you know, we have everything out here in Bastrop that you need between medical oncology. We have a breast surgeon here. There's plenty of excellent general surgeons in the area as well that are very good at breast surgery, and you know, we're more than happy to help you make this decision and guide you through these choices. You know, we'll talk to you about what your options are and then help you pick the one that's right for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Minahan, for sharing this information with me. We always appreciate you and your team there at Texas Oncology for always helping us with all of our needs and asking a lot of our, answering some of our questions and giving us helpful information. Give us the office phone number for you.
Sure. The office here in Bastrop is 512-308-9024. We do see breast cancer patients here. We can do biopsies right here in the clinic. We also have an advanced practice nurse who does genetic counseling. So if you're one of the folks who gets a diagnosis and needs genetic counseling, or if you're not a, you know, if you're not diagnosed but are just worried that your family history is such, we can get you set up and evaluate you and decide whether or not you should be getting tested.
And you're just amazing to have an office there in Bastrop, so a lot of our listeners who don't like to drive in the big cities don't have to for
that's
the most
right.
part. And we also want to thank Texas Oncology for being one of our sponsors of our Columbus High School Cardinal football team. We certainly appreciate that as well. So.
Oh, we're happy to be part of the community. We really enjoy being out here, and we wouldn't have it any other way.
And we thank you so very, very much. Once again, Dr. Matthew Minahan with Texas Oncology, and get your mammograms. Any other words?
No, I think just make sure you got a good primary care doc who's staying on top of it, and God forbid you ever need us, come see us right away.
And you'll certainly take care of us, no doubt. We certainly
yep.
appreciate all of you at Texas Oncology. Thank you so much for joining me here this morning. And I'd like to thank my sponsors for allowing the doctor's point of view on your hometown radio, 98.3.